Well, good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable. And most importantly, Happy New Year. Happy 2017. Welcome to our first show of 2017. Get ready, Museum of Broadcasting. This is going to be some of our finest work this morning. We are
best this year.
That's right. The best this
that's
year.
Your exactly. Prediction?
That is the prediction. This is going to be our best show so far of 2017. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's very nice. We missed you. We were away yesterday, and we missed you. We have a lot to talk about, and we'll make up for that. And it's a good thing we have 90 minutes because we have a lot of stories to get to. There was a lot of skullduggery going on while we were away.
Oh boy, was there ever!
So we'll talk about that anyway. Let me introduce the panel to you. We'll begin with Dr. Alan Chartok, who I was saying you're looking very natty today. Very nice. You got the like. Is that a new tie?
No, it's an older tie. I found it in amongst all the others.
A pink and gray paisley, for those of you.
And you see my
Rogers cardigan.
My cardigan.
I love it.
Roselle found that in the closet also, said, how come you never wear this? So I put it on today.
So these aren't like holiday gifts that you're just bringing out for the first
not
time.
At all.
These are just sort of reusing things.
Old junky clothes.
No, they're not junky. Yeah. He looks great. He looks fantastic.
How many ties
back?
Do you have?
I have about 500 ties.
You could wear a different one
because
every
in
day.
The old days, I used to be on TV. You know, first on Channel 6 and then on Channel 13 for years and years.
Not,
I don't remember
not
how many.
TV.
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 And so what happened was I noticed that if I wore a outstanding tie every day, it didn't much matter what I had to say. It only mattered that I had a different tie on
does
every day.
Does that work on radio?
No. And golly gee whiz, Martha, look at what he's wearing today. Look at that tie. See what I mean?
So there you go.
And so anyway,
we don't wear ties.
So it has not been an easy weekend. The last thing we got shot with last night was Joe and Rosemary and Mike was the idea that that Breitbart. Now remember, Breitbart is the news service. In case you've been on Mars, the newspaper, the alt-right newspaper that gave us none other than Bannon, right to the Steve Bannon to the White House, where he is senior advisor or counselor or whatever to the president of the United strategist to the president of the United States. And what did Breitbart say this weekend? They said the first thing that ought to be done by the new Congress is to get rid of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Have I been predicting this on this show and everywhere else? Yeah, well, obviously. It makes great sense. I got a letter from a colleague because I warned everybody about it in the system and say, how dare you? You know, how dare you talk about that? There's no evidence that that's going to happen. Well, now there's some evidence. So we have to start strategizing about how we'll make up that money. That's not going to be easy.
Does anyone well, let me introduce the rest of the panel here.
Sure.
Real quick, and that is Rosemary Romeo is here. She is the director of the journalism program at the University at Albany. And good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have
Yay.
You. Happy New Year to you. Mike Spain is with us. Mike Spain is the associate, right?
That is associate
editor. Thank you.
Currently.
I have to.
it was raining out there.
As of 9:15, yeah.
Far as I know.
The associate editor of the Times Union newspaper, and it was always a thrill to have Mike with us each and every Tuesday. So thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for being with us. So we want to get into some more of that, but let us talk about what happened last night, which was coming across the wires and late Monday night and early this morning. Republicans in the House have voted to curtail the power of the ethics office. The vote came as a surprise to apparently almost everyone without the support of the House Speaker or the Majority Leader. The full House is scheduled to vote Tuesday. The move would take away power and independence from an investigative body and give lawmakers more control over internal inquiries. Now, not surprisingly, both Republicans, certain Republicans and Democrats have real concerns about this. This gutting of the independent ethics office. So the question, let me just ask this question to the panel, the way of setting this up, which is if you have a body that already, yes, you're in power. Yes, you've won, you're in both houses. But at what point you still know that most people hate you? Why do you do something like this?
Because you can.
Can.
because you can't.
Look, say this, the words with you in unison.
This is a sham. This really is a sham, and it's a terrible, terrible thing.
Will it get through, by the way? Do you think it'll pass the
floor? I think there's a possibility it'll pass.
I think there's even Democrats who don't like the, you know, the health, the Office of Congressional Ethics, because it is independent and they can't control it, and they're you know, and they get investigated by it also.
And by the way, it's still their decisions don't just lie there. They have to send those to the so-called ethics committee in the Congress, and they have to take the punitive actions if there are. So they're not happy. Nobody's happy about it. Look, as I pointed out to you guys before we came on, I've been watching the state legislature, the Congress, for a long time. That's what I taught. That's what I knew. And I have to tell you, in the state legislature, those committees, the ethics committees, don't even meet most of the time. And nothing, and they never do anything. So that's what they're voting for.
Let's what did this group do? What's it well known for?
You know, I wish I
knew. It didn't do. Okay, so here's my whole take on this. It is a very elaborate and arcane system that Congress has set up to investigate ethics charges. I have no problem if it goes back to the ethics committee that's actually in Congress, if it actually acts. Instead, this was set up by the Democrats. I'm not sure that it did anything. It's a very bizarre Byzantine system. And what the only thing that I can see in this measure and what makes me really nervous are these three things. First, the horde of horribles is about to come up, and there's now one less body that will be investigating them.
Exactly.
That's all of Trump's nominees. Second, you can no longer make a complaint about an ethics violation anonymously, which, as every police agency in the whole country knows, that's how you get tips, is if you make them anonymous. And three, there will be punishments for leaking information about ethics violations. Watch the Trump administration. I believe every measure that comes in will have an attendant policy that shuts down what it's doing to the press.
But Rosemary, isn't it interesting that here is Trump facing all of these potential ethical violations in terms of his businesses and everything else?
Conflicts of interest.
And at the same time, this thing emerges out of the Congress, out of the bowels of the Congress.
It would not have ever looked at Trump. He's not a member of
Congress. No. I didn't mean that. I just mean that Trump doesn't want anybody looking at him.
Right.
Congressmen don't want anybody looking
at
them.
Right.
And so it's not surprising to me that you see a sort of parallelism between what politicians now think they can get away with.
Well, that's my question is, so is it too unkind to say that we're trying to remove any hindrance that we would have in doing whatever the hell we want to do?
Exactly. No, that's exactly right.
Well, officially, the House Republican leaders are not in favor of this.
And right.
It will be interesting today to see, you know, what their statements and how it all evolves. But the immediately, Democrats are saying that this is essentially putting a stopper in the swamp so that it cannot be drained. And it's a protection action by the Congress to, you know, presumably Trump was trying to, you know, get rid of the ethical violations and clean up Congress. I don't know how he was intending to do it, but this would make it even more difficult.
You don't know how or whether?
Well, I don't know how he intended to go about it.
I don't think he ever wanted to go about it. I don't think he was going to
No, that was a campaign pledge.
Right.
Whether he would follow through would be...
Yeah. It's really interesting to me that this body that does not seem to have been incredibly effective in cleaning up any ethical violations is the first thing that congressional Republicans targeted, which certainly gives a bad impression.
Well,
it almost like they want the impression to be there.
Well, no, I don't think so. I do think, though, that their leaders are very worried about what you just said, the idea that, in fact, they're going to get held responsible for this, whether it's doing anything or not. Now, Rosemary, obviously, if they are voting and holding up their hands and saying, let's get rid of this thing, even though you say they're not doing anything and I got to go do my homework now, they're voting it out for a reason. They're scared of it. Just its very existence.
Well, they issue a report. Yeah. I mean, this committee would issue a report to say what it had investigated. So if someone made allegations about a particular congressman and they were anonymous, they could report that they investigated and looked into this and found no evidence, but just revealing what they looked into was embarrassing sometimes.
I know.
And it could be and they argued it could be manipulated. You know, you can make up something and tip off the this committee.
Yeah, that's why they're voting against it, Mike. They're voting against it because they're scared to death of it. That's what they're worried
about. I can't believe they're scared to death of this committee. It was set up only in 2008 by Democrats. They want to undo all Democrats, all regulation. This fits in with it. It still leaves the Ethics Committee, which has actually directly elected representatives on that we can hold accountable. Look at the press coverage of this. I mean, that's one thing that we need to pick our battles. Is this the one? The coverage is all like, well, on the one hand, the Democrats say this, but the Republicans counter that it'll make ethics more. It's that same even-handed stuff again, and I'm not seeing laser-like analysis of what's really happening.
Well, so is that because we are picking our battles, or is it because...
No, it's because we're not ready. And these Republicans took this action, as you say, without even their own leadership knowing about it.
Presumably.
Right. It's even worse if they did know about it and they're lying about it. But we don't really know. The press does not know what's going on. And it's going to become harder and harder to know what's going on as the Trump administration, actually begins.
Well, I never like to disagree with you, but I cannot believe that this came out of the bowels of the Congress without a good reason on a fear. Look, these people aren't stupid. They know they're going to get, you say, we have to hold them responsible. We have to hold them accountable. Nobody, first of all, most people don't even know who their representative is. And that is true, by the way. Most people don't know who their state legislator is or who their congressman is. Now you say, oh, well, up here everybody does. Well, upstate, people know more.
Because it's a bigger geographic area.
People know more. But these people did not start up and hold up their hands and say, we're going to override our own leader here because without knowing that there were going to be consequences of it. And obviously there was a reason for that.
I think the Republicans that we now see really taking power in Congress enjoy immensely embarrassing and challenging Speaker Ryan. I don't think he has the respect or the power of any of his predecessors.
You mean finding Speaker Ryan?
Yeah. Finding Speaker Ryan, exactly. No, I just don't see that. I think that they have their own agenda, and they're going to push it through. In fact, they have started even before Trump is in the White House. They've begun pushing through measures they want, and fewer regulations, including on them, is part of that.
Well, they are insular. I think that you're right. I think they recognize that people don't even know who their congressperson is, and that they can pretty much get away with anything, and they can just watch themselves, because that's essentially what the existing House Ethics Committee does. It's members.
And the only time they really get active, by the way, on ethical matters is when it, as Rosemary indicates, it hits the press, and then they got to clean it up. And then they have to do something.
Which makes it more...
I mean, if you find a Jefferson, for example, not President Jefferson, but Jefferson putting money in his freezer.
Freezing his cash.
That was something, yeah.
Well, it does underscore the importance of the press and the value of now whistleblowers have no place to turn but to the press.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And as to, I think you are right. I think too many people don't know their representatives or know what their representatives do, which is why we're in the pickle we're in today. I don't think Trump and Republicans would have the power if people did know more about that. However, we have to learn. If we want to change things or bring it back to the progressive movement that we used to think was our government, that has to change. And contacting individuals and saying, we don't like this, put that ethics committee back together. That's what we have to do.
And what are the signs here that that's going to happen? In other words, you elected Trump, and how did he get elected? By talking about grabbing women's genitals and doing all that stuff.
Yep.
That's not holy.
He was elected in spite of that. He was elected because
I don't think so.
He said he's going to, make fair trade deals, and he's going to make America great again. And people bought into that, and they somehow suppressed the reality that he was a grotesque pig around women, and that was documented, and they just ignored it.
Well, I don't think everybody ignored it. I think there were a lot of people who said, hey, this is me. Mm. I knew guys like that all my life.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So what do you think we're going to see? A little prognosticating here, but what do you think we're going to see over the next 24 hours?
Oh, that's interesting.
No, that the is begin of one party rule in America.
No. I don't think that's what.
That's an easy answer, isn't it?
I don't think that's what Joe was looking for. I think the real question is if we can assume that Speaker Ryan really meant what he said, his lieutenants meant what they said, this is going to look bad, it's going to be bad. If we can assume that Nancy Pelosi is going to grab her people into a room and say, listen, I don't care what you think about this committee. Right. This is a God-given opportunity. We've got to be in their faces. And then let's see how many Republicans who got elected in close races are going to say, yeah, let's get rid of the Ethics Committee.
Well, the ones who voted on this committee to recommend it to the full Congress voted anonymously. When they have to
in the caucus, right?
Yeah. In the actual vote, they'll have to own the vote, and that could be embarrassing. And maybe it'll get voted down, which would be a symbolic win at least for transparency.
But somebody will write us a note and say, clearly, this is all to get our eyes off the three-card Monty of.
Aren't we supposed to find out today how Trump knows who the Russian hackers are?
Yes, well.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh,
come on.
And we have seen a list of those things that were going to happen.
Waiting to hear about Melania's immigration.
Isn't that going to conflict with his divesting of his businesses? Anyway, we'll talk about some of those other issues in just a second. We'll get to some letters and all of that good stuff when we come back from a news break from our friends at the BBC. You can write to us, panel@wamc.org, panel, @wamc.org, and we will continue our conversation after this break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us as always. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain make up the group this morning. We have many other topics to discuss, and we will do so in just a moment. We do want to get to some of the letters, though, that have come in our first discussion regarding ethics.
Okay, if I'm being too defensive, you'll all let me know, right, about this?
Always.
All right, Alan, you're being too defensive.
Yes, I think it's begun.
Brucey says, if you want to know your congressman, go to whoismyrepresentative.com and look it up by zip code. Yes, Brucey, that's right. But remember, this is a country where half the people don't vote. Okay, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay, so then... R writes.
How many know their zip code?
That's another thing.
Sorry, I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot.
No, it was a good shot. I like that shot.
It's a bad way to start the year.
That's good.
Okay, R says, Republicans in Congress are smart enough to realize that American voters will have completely forgotten about their getting rid of the Ethics Committee in January 2017. 99% of the voters will be like, Ethics Committee? What Ethics Committee? In November 2018. And Ron says, good morning, Panel. Cuomo administration, we've investigated ourselves and found no wrongdoing. Congress, we plan to investigate ourselves when necessary without the benefit of an ethics oversight committee. Compare and contrast, Alan. I think that I must have had this guy in class because I was always having them comparing and contrasting. Okay. Linda, the coup by the far right is nearing completion. There must be something that can be done. Is there any mechanism for unseating a president? Oh, yeah, well, there is.
Well, there is.
You ever hear about impeachment? Any want to initiate a vote of no confidence, as in other countries do? Yeah, well, just snap a vote of no confidence. Good idea. Funny. The very first thing this new Congress does, says Michael, is to wipe away any oversight as to what they do and only answer to themselves. Makes one suspicious on what they plan on doing. Michael. Well, I think this ethics stuff is not what they plan on doing substantively. I think it's because I, did an internship in Congress and I watch people ripping it off. And I have to say it's about how they get enrich themselves. I don't think it's about changing Obamacare, for example. I don't think it's substantive. Henry says, I've been watching Fox and Friends this morning regarding this story. No coverage at all on this story. Major topic elsewhere.
In fact, I just checked my device, what is trending on Fox News is the real lowdown on what the Kardashians eat.
Oh.
I kid you not.
What do they eat?
Expensive, but, very nutritionally balanced meals.
A holistic health approach.
Yes, and then they work out 8 hours a day because they can.
But, okay, this is from Jonah saying, tried to contact my Congressman Faso this morning regarding the midnight action on the Office of Congressional Ethics. However, there are no listed contacts for him yet, and all of Gibson's voicemails are full. Is not being able to contact your congressperson ethical?
Mike, you know this. Has he been sworn in yet?
Yeah, that's a good question. If he's down there now and they're voting, yes, he would have had to be. He didn't get much press on his swearing in.
No.
Yeah, but he would have to be seated, and he would be seated. And
so maybe they just haven't hit the phone yet?
Maybe he's hiding out. That would never do that. Yeah. No. He's making America great.
But I was just thinking it'll be a good story to kind of track John Faso as he's starting his congressional career. It is an interesting story, kind of somebody with the experience and background that he has, going into Congress now at this time. We'll have to follow that story. I'm sure Dan Friedman, our Washington guy for the Times Union, will be doing something soon on it.
A day in the life of?
Sure.
Barbara says, so now the foxes will be guarding the hen house? Doesn't sound like draining the swamp to me, but what do I know? Stand by for bigger and better corruption. And that's from Barbara from Chatham. All right. And John, who writes on this subject almost every day, I think, or an awful lot, says, in Alan's morning commentary, he noted that those in power want to suppress fair reporting. However, to the best of my knowledge, WOMC doesn't adhere to the fairness in reporting, but rather consistently adopts a left-of-center viewpoint. Tax dollars should come with requirements, namely requirements to adopt the code of ethics for fair reporting and a process to handle complaints, which is what the CPB has implemented. Is there a reason why WOMC hasn't implemented such a code and related oversight model? Tax-exempt status should also come with similar requirements. Okay, Joe, do you want to answer this, or would you like to?
I can certainly answer part of it, and then you can talk a little bit more with more eloquence about the actual, your role here. But as far as the actual reporting goes, I think we adhere to every journalistic code.
You can't find a spot on any of our walls without commendations for the job we do.
Okay. But we have a great newsroom that has done incredible work and continues to do incredible work. Now, if you're going to call commentary, discussion, analysis, and put that into news coverage, well, then that seems unfair, because in all quarters, those are separated. We separate them here. They're separated elsewhere. And so I think it would be hard-pressed to look at any of our news programs, Midday Magazine, Morning Edition, any of them, Northeast Report, and say that we are biased or unfair.
And by the way, when Herb London, remember Herb London? When Herb London comes on, and my friends on the left, and I have friends on the left and the right, write to me and say, get him off our air. Or Rich Honan comes on, and we hear again and again from people that ain't right. Come on now. And when somebody calls me and says, I'd like to answer that, we always let them answer, on the air. Let's just remember that the New York Times is the best newspaper in the country, maybe the world, and I'll bet this guy writes to them too, or should write to them and say the same thing.
That's the point. There's nothing you can say. There's no award you can point to that's going to undermine their view.
The trolls.
They'll just say, oh, it's the press trying to monitor itself. It's just like Congress. Who is the outside arbiter who said you're fair and unbiased? Not us, and so we don't believe it. That's what we're facing. We have a real crisis of credibility in the news business right now.
I agree. I mean, I think that people are now just navigating to their own set of facts, things that they agree with, and say, that's all I need. I don't need any contradictory information, and mm-hmm. I will believe what I'll believe. Mm-hmm. And we're licensing people to do that now. And, I mean, you call it fake news, and then the other side calls whatever you say is fake news. So everybody's saying, no, you're fake. No, you're fake. And out of it, people get to cherry pick what they agree with and ignore what they disagree with. And it doesn't help society.
All right. So let's go to another topic. And I'm sure
By that time, my blood pressure will be coming
down. Yeah, I was going to say, this one will certainly, you know, calm everybody down. No. Well, so the new Congress is coming in, and with new Congress, they are poised to convene. Obama's policies are in peril. This is no shock, really. The most powerful and ambitious Republican-led Congress in 20 years will convene today, with plans to leave its mark on virtually every facet of American life, refashioning the country's social safety net, wiping out scores of labor and environmental regulations, and unraveling some of the most significant policy prescriptions put forward by the Obama administration, even before President-elect Donald Trump is sworn in on January 20th, giving their party full control of government. Republicans plan quick action on several of their top priorities, most notably a measure to clear a path for the Affordable Care Act's repeal. Perhaps the first thing that will happen in the new Congress is the push for deregulation. Also up early, filling a long vacant Supreme Court seat, which is sure to set off a pitch showdown, and starting confirmation hearings for Mr. Trump's cabinet nominees. Yes.
I'm leaving.
I mean, some of this is symbolic. I mean, that they're going to take some action to begin to repeal Obamacare. The real question is, do they have anything they're going to replace it with? And they're hedging about that now. They're not saying that they do, and they're not talking about what specific things they'll bring up to fix fix health care, because once they take away Obamacare, it's going to need a big fix. And
the hospitals don't like it, number one. And what I'm saying is that, you know,
they don't like Obamacare, or they don't.
No, don't like taking it away. Yeah. And now you're going to have 20 million people off the rolls eventually. So then what happens? Everybody go to the emergency room?
No, I'm torn as an American. I don't want to see the country suffer, which is what I'm afraid might happen. And yet, on the other hand, this is what America voted for. And so they should get the whole full dose right away, and let's see what happens.
In other words, they deserve what they get. And
they don't deserve what they get.
And more people voted for Hillary than voted for
Trump. But more people didn't vote. Half didn't vote, so they deserve,
the same half
they deserve what's happening.
Same half that
and
never
And all
vote.
The Trump supporters deserve this, and all of the Hillary supporters who didn't do everything they could to counter her. This is, it's true.
It presents
we
a moral
get
dilemma.
What we
do you
deserve.
Do you try to do everything you can to help make the process better? If you're in Congress or if you're active in politics, do you support whatever parts of Trump's plans
that you can, right.
Or do you just steadfastly refuse to go along with anything?
Which is the Republican plan.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the
there was an article about this agenda in the Washington Post in which they're talking about how this had long been in the works. And in 2012, Americans for Tax Reform's Grover Norquist described the ideal president as, quote, a Republican with enough working digits to handle a pen and sign the legislation that has already been prepared.
I love that, and I immediately thought of jokes about little short fingers, little short digits.
Well, guess what? The legislation is being prepared as we speak.
Right.
How many times have I said, you know, this is coming. It just is. People don't deserve it. They don't deserve it.
Yeah,
like somebody with a kid who can't go to an emergency room, who's going to die because there's no doctor on hand for that, they don't deserve that.
Republicans were put into power, and they do think that's a necessary price of being individualistic and fighting for our own and not relying on government. And if some people die, that's part of the plan, and they know it, and they fought for it, and they have been now given the right to experiment with it.
Well, I think it should be clarified. You can take a sick child to the emergency room, and any hospital will treat them. It's the ongoing care, and it's the wellness visits. Obamacare began to change the way health care was applied. It let people who were well get regular visits to the doctors and not be charged for it. And if they move from one health care plan to another, that the pre-existing condition won't disqualify them for coverage. And those kinds of things will take their toll over time. They were beginning to have a profound change. There were still a lot of problems with Obamacare. People's The cost was way up for some people. As we now famously know, you don't get to keep your own doctor and in many cases. And what it needed was some course correction, some repair, and Congress could never agree on that. So now they're going to just blow it up and have nothing to replace.
Well, it's because some people wanted the issue. Some of these politicians want the issue. They don't want the responsibility of making it right. So when it was clear that Obamacare could not be done away with, you know, that's one thing. But now they have the responsibility, and I think Rosemary has been dancing around this one, they have the responsibility of making it right.
Yep. Teresa Bourgeois is the expert on this, and I love hearing her talk about health care. But I'm hopeful that we're going to end up with a system that actually works. If you recall, what Democrats really wanted was universal health care, one-payer
yes.
system.
Right.
The Republicans rejected that. They also then rejected their own plan. Romney Care is really Obamacare. And they rejected that only because Romney's name wasn't on it. It was now Obama. But everything in there they actually support. So maybe they won't throw it all away. They certainly are going to hear from people if they do. And it is possible that we'll end up with what we should have had under Obama, which is Obamacare with fixes and adjustments so that it works in the same way that Social Security was not born fully developed from FDR's head. It was evolved over time with work by Congress.
Well,
and maybe now that will happen.
Well, the irony is that they may fix Obamacare and they'll change the name of it so he doesn't
Correct.
Get the credit.
Correct.
And they'll take Medicare and turn it to a voucher system, which I don't think they're
heart.
Going to be able to do. But that's what
they're not going to do. That.
They're
they
talking
can't.
About doing.
What they will
and
do.
And keeping the name, but changing it.
No, they'll change it all right.
Yeah,
you're
it's
right.
Kind
about
of a reverse, isn't it?
They'll change it all right. And they'll make sure that their friends get in on the action. You know, in the same way the insurance companies get in on the action on health care.
Okay, we're late for break, so we're going to go take that. We'll be back. We'll continue our conversation, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from McTeague and McClellan, buyers of gold, diamonds, and jewelry since 1895, gemologists and appraisers evaluating and buying in Great Barrington and New York. Appointment suggested, mc2jewels.com. Gloversville Sewing Center, Gloversville and Saratoga Springs, New York. A quilt shop offering Bernina and Janome sewing machines were worth the trip. GloversvilleSewingCenter.com. MPAC, Experimental Media and Performing Arts Center, where the arts, sciences, and technology interact and influence each other. MPAC.rpi.edu for details. Allardyce Glass and Mirror, Saratoga Springs, New York, providing sales, service, and installation of glass, shower enclosures, mirror, and screen products for the home. Allardyce.com. And Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, for indoor fragrance and color, cyclamen, begonia, primroses, orchids, herbs, and information on how to care for them. WardsNursery.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Tuesday, the first show of 2017. And we have a lot to talk about and we'll continue to do so. Thank you for joining us this morning. We appreciate you being with us. And let's go on to some other stuff. We'll get to some more letters after the break at the top of the hour, but we'll start. One of the things that we were talking about in this this new Congress is what the Democrats are going to do. And so now we hear, again, from an article from The Washington Post, Democratic senators plan to aggressively target 8 of Donald Trump's cabinet nominees in the coming weeks and are pushing to stretch their confirmation votes into March, an unprecedented break with Senate tradition. Such delays would upend Republican hopes of quickly holding hearings and confirming most of Trump's top picks on Inauguration Day. But Democrats, hamstrung by their minority status, are determined to slow walk Trump's picks unless they start disclosing reams of personal financial data that they have withheld so far, according to senior aides. Despite early vows to cooperate with Trump and his new government, Democrats have been troubled by a lack of personal disclosure by cabinet choices that they say mirrors Trump's refusal to disclose personal tax information during the presidential campaign. I think I have the list here, and if I don't, I will get it. Alan, why don't you start?
I have to defer to Rosemary. She looks very anxious to say something.
Yes,
here.
Rosemary wants to go on first.
She's ready to go.
Okay, so I just want to do the list, okay?
Yeah, that's good.
So Rex Tillerson, yeah, right?
Right.
Senator.
Good one to concentrate
Jeff
on.
Jeff Sessions.
Yep.
Mick Mulvaney, tapped to lead the Office of Management and Budget, and Betsy DeVos of Education. Yeah. There's also Tom Price, his pick for Department of Health and Human Services, who was expected to be attacked by Democrats for his support of privatizing Medicare. Andrew Puzder, a restaurant executive set to serve as labor secretary, will face scrutiny for a past comments on the minimum wage, among other policies. Steve Mnuchin, who is a former Goldman Sachs partner, set to serve as Treasury Secretary, and Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, Trump's pick to lead the Environmental Protection Agency, will also be the focus of Democratic attacks.
So, you know, Carson and Perry, they're sailing. They're going to sail.
They're going to get a bye.
Like, we'll give them a pass.
Okay, they don't know anything, and they're dancing on stars, and oh, yeah, but they can get through. So that shows you, again, how terrible this list is. And the real sadness is the Democrats can fight really hard and jump up and down, but I think they're all going to go through.
Well, they may, except if it, I mean, when you start, Rosemary, you start asking people, you know, how much does a bottle of milk cost or how much does a bread cost or whatever else, you know, you can look awfully stupid. And these people, you could prepare them from now till, you know, doomsday, but they have not been prepared for the political sphere that they're about to face. And I think some terrible answers and terrible material will come out of these hearings. I think that's why they've chosen the uninitiated.
Kellyanne is already lining up the responses.
The
of course they didn't know. These are not politicians.
Yeah.
This is not what you wanted. These are people who are in the business class. That's why they answered the way they did, Alan.
Chosen people who are different than the Washington establishment.
Why can't you show us your taxes, sir?
The American people don't care about their tax. They only care about their own income tax form.
And this is what President-elect Trump is going to do. He's going to help them lower the amount of taxes they're paying, and that's what they really care about.
Well, this is a fun game. I wish we could just do the rest of the show
just
this way.
We saw it during the election, and it worked.
I got to tell you, she is good.
She is worth the money she gets. Yeah. And apparently her husband is one of the people who will be sailing through, because his name's not on the list, too. He's up on the short list for Solicitor General, the main person who argues the government's
Supreme
cases
Court.
In the Supreme Court. Not that, you know, probably, well, never mind. I'm trying not to be a hater.
Okay. Democratic aide said, quote, "The unprecedented personal wealth of Trump's nominees certainly warrant such delays."
Mm-hmm. They also, none of them have submitted the same material that Obama's nominees did. They were rushed through. I think there were seven Obama nominees went through in one day. But they had been vetted ahead of time. They had turned in material. These nominees have not gone through any sort of ethics screening, nor have they submitted supporting material. Tillerson gave 3 years' worth of tax documents. He arbitrarily decided and said, "I'm giving you 3 years' worth, and that's it."
Because year four might have something I don't care for you to see.
Correct. Or maybe not, but you still won't know that either.
Right, right. And it should be noted, too, that the Democrats did push through six on the first day for Bush, George W. Bush, back in 2000. So, I mean,
this is different.
Yeah, this is a different situation. And, of course, leading this strategy is the U.S. senior senator from New York, Chuck Schumer. He's the minority leader. And it looks like this is the strategy they're going to take. They're going to pick their fights. They're going to let the Carsons go through and let others go through, like
Rick Perry,
Nick Haley, Nikki Haley, and stuff. But they're going to go after these. Mad Dog looks like he's getting. It's interesting. Our junior U.S. senator from New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, came out and said that she was not in favor of giving the necessary votes to give a waiver that would allow Marine General James Mattis to become the defense secretary. He only retired a couple of years ago. You need to be out 7 years unless you get a waiver from Congress, which is extraordinary to get. And she's questioning that, but it looks like Schumer's not going to push that. So that's a little interesting New York story.
Let me just say Schumer, who I know fairly well, is a brilliant man. And I think he's picking his fights, and he's doing it intelligently. And I think he's probably got a rationale. If I were sitting in the room as they were making these decisions, I'm sure the rationale would be, you know, we don't want to go after somebody who there might be some sympathy for, but we do want to point out how the rich guys are ripping it off. And I think that's what his thinking is.
I want to believe that Schumer is brilliant and lucky and sent by God, because he has a lot of forces arrayed against him right now.
All right. With that, we go to our news break with One Ray Graff, who is right in our studio, right next to us, our adjacent studio, ready to go. My goodness, he seems so eager. I'd say he's eager. That's right. We'll listen to him, and we'll come back and we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Before we get on to other topics, we would like to, hear what your thoughts are on some of the other stuff that we've already discussed. Alan has a stack of letters, and we'll read from those right now.
Mary says, I learned about this issue when I turned on Facebook,
yes.
This
yes.
morning.
What decided, issue?
Decided to call Faso's office to make a comment and got an answer. Ann Kneeler, his secretary, I guess, is in Kinderhook, not Washington. She said the reps will be sworn in at noon. She knew nothing
about... Joe Biden is swearing them all in. I did find that. So it'll be a big ceremony down there in D.C.
The vice president is in the House? Or
The vice president's going to swear in all the new members of the House.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was one, but maybe it's noon.
She knew nothing about this issue, so I did my best to explain what we want to oppose this move by the committee to destroy the power of the Ethics Committee. My husband called later, and the answer machine was full. No answer. Mary, that's from Mary. All right. I know John Faso fairly well, and we have him on the congressional corner all the time. I'll be sure to ask him about this, okay? Is that right? All right.
Well, it'll be a done deal by the time
you sure.
go on. Yeah.
But Lisa, I'm scared to death of this man. There isn't a shred of sunlight around him to disinfect him. I'm worried that
we're not talking about Congressman Faso, are we?
I think we're talking about Big T. I'm worried about that someone's going to hurt his huge ego and will hit the nuke button. I've called Schumer, Gillibrand, et cetera, to see what the public can do to slow this Congress and next president down. Any other suggestions are eagerly anticipated. And that's from Lisa. All right. And Susan says, do you think the Senate will appoint Mr. Garland to the Supreme Court today? Window of opportunity before new members are sworn in. It wouldn't be the Senate. Would it be the president doing an interim appointment? And he won't. That's my bad.
And he won't.
Agree.
Yeah. Okay. Dearest panel, we love you. Happy New Year. Best luck in the new year. Keep fighting the good fight. We need you. And that's from Hazmat Mike. All right. Tony says, Happy New Year. The question of fair reporting by WMC and other public news organizations is perfectly fine to expect. The right is often heard complaining about a left-tilting bias. Perhaps giving straight fact reporting doesn't sit well with their perceptions, because straight fact reporting is just so happens to reflect problems with almost everything the right wing stands for. And that's from Tony from Athol. Daniel says, your panel that you pontificate about fake news and each individual group of people having their own set of fake news, I would like to point out yours. As Rosemary mentioned that trending on Fox News was the Kardashians, I looked at my device, and the fifth story down with a photo of the Capitol was a story about stripping the Ethics Committee. On the page, I saw no mention of the Kardashians.
First, I can't pontificate because I'm a girl. And second, I looked on my iPhone, which is a Verizon provider, and it says top news trending. It has a number of different news, the New York Times, HuffPost, and under Fox News was the Kardashian story. I would not make that up.
Also, what people have that's trending varies from device to device and person to person, because it's looking to as to what I've looked for.
So maybe that I'm so getting that because I look for Kardashian news.
I want to know what they eat.
I think that's a worse knock than what the letter writer said.
But you've admitted to that before.
Oh, yeah. They're a very guilty pleasure of mine, yes.
Your commentary, analysis, and roundtable are virtually all left of center, just like this morning's show. All Democrats and no supporters of conservatives. That's okay. It's a free country. Have at it. But to expect taxpayer support from all of us is ridiculous and arrogant. Pay for it yourself. Do Fox News, the Weekly Standard, and the Wall Street Journal get federal funding?
No, but they do
nope.
have advertising.
Well, no, I think we do a wonderful job. I do think we do a wonderful job. I think we're fair. I think we have commentary from all kinds of people on the show. We'll have Rich tomorrow. We have, we have Herb London, and people don't like that. So this is part of doing our job. Barbara says, if you have a bill or law that you're trying to gain support for, it's difficult reaching federal representatives. Most senators or House members are not in your district and will not accept emails, and all snail mail is sent for inspection before reaching their offices, causing major delay. Phone calls are sometimes the only option. That's what we got.
All right. So that is the mailbag for so far for this morning. We'll get to some more letters in just a moment. This is a quick clarification, and maybe it's not necessary, but I feel that I should give it anyway, which is people say when I said that's it for the letters, and people think that that's all the letters that we got. Well, no, that's not true. We just read what we think we have time for. Right. So when we say that, it's just like, oh, you said this was your last letter. What happened to my letter? And then people start sending them again. No, we have it. This is what we have time for right now.
And for those who say, how come you censored my letter? The answer is, of course, and we're just hearing this morning that Trump is slamming the House GOP for ethics changes. Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting.
Well, good.
Interesting.
It does fit the theory that the Republicans are moving ahead with their agenda without regard, without coordinating with Trump, just hoping he's going to sign what he has to.
We heard that, by the way, from CNN. I like to give credit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, one of the recent letters you just read talked about how we're, you know, all leftist center and we don't give the conservative voice. But, you know, the conservative voice and the Trump voice aren't always the same. And I
Correct.
Think that's an interesting, following up on what you were saying, Rosemary, is that the conservatives, people who regard them as true conservatives may end up in a coalition with some of the people who are left of center to try to block some of the things that Trump is doing. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting session.
9 minutes ago, Donald Trump tweeted, with all that Congress has to work on, do they really have to make the weakening of the independent ethics watchdog as unfair as it may be their number one act and priority? Focus on tax reform, health care, and so many other things of far greater importance.
Well as I said before,
smart move.
He's right.
And as I said before, this is not a change, as Trump just indicated, a substantive change in our laws. This is a protection for your own potential wrongdoing. And the American people get that.
Yes. More letters. Excellent. So there you go, Alan. I'll take the old ones. I'll give you the new ones.
All right. Out with the old and in with the new.
That's what the new year brings.
Daisy says, you know how many people voted for Trump, like in Kentucky, who said, oh, Trump will never get rid of my new insurance? So let them see their vote has consequences. No excuse for ignorance. Jennifer.
Yeah, that's sort of my view, and I try to squelch that, but I do understand it.
Jennifer says, cynical me says Republicans hate Obamacare because pharmaceutical companies can make more money from sick people than those kept healthy through preventative care and lifestyle counseling. That's pretty cynical, all right.
It is quite cynical, and unfortunately, there probably is an element of truth in it.
Alan says, maybe this was mentioned, but nobody thinks it's weird that they have a midnight vote. Isn't this just melodramatic and sinister on its own? Well, by the way, they ain't alone. You haven't lived till you've seen the New York State Legislature at the end of the session. They lead them in like cattle and they go, bah, you know, like sheep. Say, everybody hold up your hand. I got to say no first. Bah. Good morning, panel. I like Rosemary. The sky isn't falling with her. Positive and hopeful thinking. This is what we need. Hats off to you, my dear.
Do you feel that way?
I'm a fabulous actress because I feel like the sky is falling.
Hats off to you, my dear. Jeff from New Paltz. Okay. And then, panelists. It's not going to the ER that's the issue, but when? Waiting to see if one's affordable inhaler had the desired effect before conceding an asthma attack isn't responding just because the ER bill will slam your household finances, gambles on life and death stake. And that's from Bonnie. I'm sure I didn't do that letter justice. Kate said, I read this morning that the reason that insurance companies' premiums went up in the ACA because Congress did not authorize the supports that were supposed to be in place to help the insurance companies with higher costs of having to accept people with pre-existing conditions. And then there's a question mark at the end of that rather assertive sentence. But of course, the Republicans blame the ACA for the higher rates. Can someone comment on that? Also, I love WAMC, and I listen to the roundtable every day. Thank you for having a harbor, for being a harbor of sanity in these insane times. And that's from Kate. Thanks, Kate.
I think Rosemary did say it, and that is, and we both talked about it, that, you know, the ACA needed some corrections, and it never got them. Like any major, major program, you got to go in and make course corrections, and Congress refused. It just tried to, you know, eliminate it 57 times or something like
that. It's in the high 60s.
Yeah.
And one of the three who write us almost every day writes again now and says, dear panel, what happens if the Trump team defies all your negative expectations and does succeed in making America great again? How will that make you guys look? Don't be quick to judge. And that's from Janet.
I would just so totally love to be wrong about this. I would have no trouble eating all the crow in the world if that's true.
All right, so let us move on to other issues. And we have a lot about on here. Well, I'll get started on the other issue and then I'll look. We got a lot of mail on pontificating, but we'll work on that in a moment.
Female cannot pontificate.
That's right. So
you need to be a pope.
So
yeah,
let's talk about.
You have to be a pope, so.
Let's talk about. President-elect Donald Trump expressing lingering skepticism about intelligence assessments of Russian interference in the election, saying on Saturday evening that he knew, quote, things that other people don't know about the hacking, and that the information would be revealed on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well, the day isn't over, and we have tomorrow.
And we've been waiting for other things that were going to be spoken to. What Melania's immigration status? What else?
His tax returns.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what?
Conflict of interest in his businesses. He keeps. This is his pattern. It's just his pattern.
But what could he know? What could he know that other people don't know? That wouldn't further implicate him in having a direct connection to
the Russians.
Well, what would the source be if it wasn't the intelligence community?
That's correct.
Community?
Yeah. Correct.
It's hard to know.
Is that a fair question during the campaign?
Well, it is a fair question. During the campaign, he said that he knew more than the generals about ISIS. How would he know that? Maybe he's well read. I don't know. And it seems laughable, but as you do laugh. But yeah, I think it's just rhetoric. I think it's just
rhetoric.
First
of all, it's not. I mean, it's laughable. But he did say the last book he read, which I believe now goes, this answer goes back 3 years. Please correct me if I'm wrong here, but
All Quiet on the Western Front. Yeah. It appears to be the only answer he ever gives to
read
that
in high school. It was a great book.
Yeah. Okay.
Was it the last book you ever read?
No.
But it comes right to mind, doesn't it? Yeah.
I think it's a good question. It's fair that you ask it. Only he could answer it, and I just can't come up with an answer. We know, as president-elect, that of course that he is available to get all kinds of briefings. But he has told us that he ignores them. He doesn't go to them. So where is he getting this information from?
He obviously has somebody he trusts advising him. And who that is, we don't know. Yeah.
Well, he has also answered that question, Mike, and has said that he trusts himself. He listens to himself, his own big brain.
That's right. He did say that during the campaign.
But, I mean, who could it be? Even Netanyahu? Does Netanyahu know? No.
Israel has great intelligence services.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
it could be
from there.
Could be there. Yeah.
I was having a quasi-argument with somebody over the weekend about this very thing, or over the holiday, about what we were just talking about, of when you say what he said, which is true. I mean, these are all things that he said, and then people say, oh, you're being sarcastic. But how do you...
How do you say that without that catch in your voice that designates sarcasm?
It is an issue, Joe. How do you act if you act objective and try to be objective? You know that you're.
It's like, well, why? Yeah, they say, why are you saying
that? You're equivocating, and it's not necessary to equivocate. You know, I mean, it happened all during the campaign. People said, well, you know, he has his problems, but Hillary, you know, she's got her foundation. You know, he had his problems. You know, if you equivocate, you kind of weaken what might be the reality in this situation.
I mean, we're only going by what he just wrote, right?
Our opinion, most of us have stated plainly what our opinions are. So do we say, he's lying, which is what I really believe. But does that get us any further? No.
No, during it's the campaign like, stories, the New York Times would say, correct. Donald Trump said incorrectly Tuesday, you know.
By the way, I knew we were going to get in trouble. We had a few letters from postal people who say, come on, we don't like snail mail. We prefer classic mail.
When did we say that?
Legacy mail.
Classic.
When did we say
snail
mail?
Classic.
Snail mail
was
so we read somebody's letter.
Oh, somebody said it in their letter. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I got it. All right. Well,
that's like legacy media. I hate that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So legacy mail.
All right.
I actually call it real mail.
Pontificate is to speak in a pompous or dogmatic manner.
Yeah, I think anybody can.
You can
do that.
Yeah, even you, Rosemary, you could be a pontificator. You said you couldn't because you were a woman.
Yeah.
I was being a little bit sarcastic.
No, I got it.
I understand what the word means.
I got it. I got it. I really didn't.
I think the show started off on a good we're doing well this morning, aren't we, for our first day?
So far, the year has been pretty good.
Absolutely. in our final moments, and we only have about two of them, but I do want to, of course, mention the latest terrorism attack. ISIS has claimed responsibility for an Istanbul nightclub attack, very much in keeping with recent attacks of going into places, much like we saw in Florida and also in Brussels, correct, of going into a crowd of nightclubs. And ISIS has claimed responsibility. 39 people at least killed. The gunman who carried out the assault has not been identified or captured. And ISIS has referred to him as a hero soldier of the caliphate. And Turkish authorities are still searching for the gunman who killed a police officer guarding the nightclub before going on a shooting rampage with a rapid-fire rifle. And I also believe, although I can't find it in this article, but I believe he was dressed as Santa Claus. Is that not correct?
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, anyway, is the...
Big symbol, Christian symbol. That is
the latest from that front, which obviously is always concerning to hear.
Whether ISIS was in contact with him ahead of time and helped him plan it, or whether he was simply inspired by their website or something, we just don't know. But either way.
Anthony said we should stop reading obvious troll screeds. What he says.
We had a mail last week, remember, but I'm not a troll. I just disagree with you. So, I mean, we try to really distinguish between them. There's only a few that I'm convinced.
By the way,
it is only
a few. It's
yeah,
how would you define
troll,
just for the audience?
Well, we did this. Joe did it last time. It's an attack that is personally offensive and strongly worded, using even profanity.
And looking for a response,
right.
baiting you for a response.
Yeah. Or threatening.
Yes, or threatening. Okay, we are out of time. I want to thank all of our panelists for being with us. Alan and Rosemary and Mike, thank you very much. Did you forget?
I did.
Okay. Rosemary had a dentist appointment, said she was going to leave at 10, but I think she forgot. But we got her for the half hour. That's great. All right. Alan, thank you very much. Michael, thank you. And we'll be back with more Roundtable after this.